堂听 class.com。
Disneyland is kind of like the ultimate amusement park. It represents a lot of thought and a lot of imagination. And for quite a long time, it was kind of one-of-a-kind thing. There was nothing really like it anywhere else in America. Over the past, say, 15 years, people have been opening other kinds of amusement parks. I remember when I first moved to Los Angeles, there were only two places like this in Los Angeles. Over the 15 years I lived in Los Angeles, I think now there are maybe five or six kinds of amusement parks, but they are quite a bit different. The next big one to emerge after Disneyland was called Magic Mountain. It was just like a very elaborate country fair that I mentioned before. A lot of roller coasters, which are really big roller coasters, ones that move very fast. I think the whole idea of this one park, Magic Mountain, is that everything there is fast, and there is a lot of action. I wouldn't say the place has a lot of character, but if you go there, you are guaranteed to have a good time, just due to the intensity of the place. There is incredible variety of rides, rides being roller coasters and maybe little boats that move very fast. So, at this place that we call Magic Mountain, it's certainly enjoyable, but it certainly doesn't have the character that Disneyland has. A few years ago, they opened up a place called Disney World, which is in Florida, which is the other end of the country. I've not been there, so I don't know if it has the same charm that the original Disneyland has. I went to the Disneyland in Tokyo, and that was quite interesting, because it was set up virtually the same as the one in California. Almost a carbon copy. It was really quite funny because everything is in English and Japanese. I could almost have been blindfolded and found my way around the thing. It was that close. It resembled it that much. The Japanese, whenever they go to California, they have to go to Disneyland. If you go there, it's unavoidable. You will see busloads of Japanese tourists there. So it's quite logical that they would put a Disneyland in Tokyo. Other than that, there aren't really too many other very well-known amusement parks in the rest of the United States. Although, you find many smaller ones everywhere you go. I quite like to ride these roller coasters. The sensation of speed is one thing I really enjoy. Although, I never really got into racing cars or anything like that. There's one thing that is quite interesting at Disneyland. They have a film called, exactly that, called Speed. You get into a small car or a trolley, and you drive along these tracks through a tunnel. In this tunnel, the walls, all around the wall, is a movie. A film of vehicles traveling very quickly. Cars, buses, trains, airplanes, boats. The way it's filmed is it's all filmed from the point of view of the vehicle. You don't really see a boat moving through the water very quickly. You just see the water passing you very quickly, as if you were on the boat. You drive through this tunnel, seeing different clips of film. Maybe a boat traveling very fast, a plane taking off, or like a military airplane, a military jet going very quickly. Your point of view, the way you see the film, is just like I said, just like you are on the boat, or the plane, or whatever. So even though you are not moving, even as fast as you might walk, you get the sensation that you are moving at the same speed as the vehicle in the film. Quite an interesting effect. We have in Los Angeles a museum called the Museum of Natural Science and one of the Museum of History. A whole museum complex of different things. They have a special movie theater there where they have two films. And one of them was shot on the space shuttle when they were doing the spacewalks and repairing the satellites. The technology used in the cameras is very, very sophisticated. It gives you a very wide picture and a very, very clear picture. The absolutely state-of-the-art photographic techniques and equipment. Again, it's all this point of view photography, so that when you sit in this theater and a screen, the projection screen, is very big. It's about 50 or 60 feet tall. It's just about life size. The people you see are the same size as you, and you are very close to the screen. The lights in the auditorium go down. It's very dark. You can't see anything but the screen. The way the chairs are positioned, it's like you are looking up a little bit, so you don't even see the people's heads around you. A very, very scientifically engineered movie theater. So again, you have this point of view like you are in space. You are on the space shuttle. This film was actually taken by the astronauts themselves. Through this film media, you can have all kinds of experiences simulated that you could never really have in real life. Like, the average person isn't going to have a chance to go up on the space shuttle in his lifetime, but to watch this film, you get an incredibly realistic idea of what it might be like to go up there, except that none of the danger elements is there. Number 14. Family History and Nation's History. I quite like that space shuttle. It's really beautiful. A beautiful piece of machinery. I remember going to a place in Northern California called Vandenberg Air Force Base. My father used to work there. They are going to start launching the space shuttle from California, I think in 2 more years. They were going to launch it last year, but because of the accident that happened, they had to postpone it, which is why my father doesn't work there anymore. We went to see what is called the launch pad, what this thing actually takes off from. I've never seen such a huge piece of machinery. It was just like a concrete building you could see here in Taipei that was on wheels. It would move. A 15-story building on wheels. They would tow the space shuttle in on some kind of a car, like you might see at an airport towing an airplane. Then they would have a crane, which is a thing for lifting very heavy objects, at the top of this virtually 15-story building. It would grab the space shuttle by the nose and then just lift it off the ground, just hanging like you were holding a bag in your hand, this bag of space shuttle. Then they would wheel this huge building right up next to it and connect it. The building would move down this little runway for about maybe 50 meters. Then there was another building on wheels that would come out to meet it. It was used to put things into the space shuttle, such as satellites and whatever they would take up. To watch that thing move was amazing. You can't imagine seeing, say, your bank that you go to, the big bank in Taipei, on wheels just moving. Obviously, it's something very special. Anyway, we won't be seeing the space shuttle go up for another year due to the accident again. So my father was working on that project, and as a result of the accident, he lost his job. Well, he didn't lose it, but he got transferred to another part of the country. So my family is moving once again, which has a bit of history to it, because when I was young and living in San Diego, we would change houses or apartments probably every year and a half. For many reasons. Maybe my father's job would change, or my mother would have another baby. I started out the only child, and then a sister was added. That forced us out of our apartment, and we moved into a small house. Then a brother came along. The house was too small, so we had to move into another house. So living in San Diego for the first 10 years of my life, we must have moved 5 or 6 times. Then my father got a job working in Los Angeles as a radio announcer doing the news at night. He moved to Los Angeles and we eventually followed. There is another move. My childhood has been quite mobile, which maybe explains why I like to travel. We moved to Los Angeles and we managed to stay in one place for about 10 years. At that time I was about 19 years old, and my parents packed up and moved to Colorado, which is about halfway across the country. I decided to remain in California because I was finishing school. Basically, my family and I have been separated for about 7 years, but I still like to go and visit them. So I'm living in California going to school and my parents are in Colorado. 2 years later, I get a phone call telling me they are coming back to California. So it's about 3 years. Then the space shuttle accident happened, and this year they moved back to Colorado. So the amount of time that my family has moved, I would say, is definitely not average American. Americans don't really tend to move around that much. Most of my friends, I would say, if they lived in another city and then moved to Los Angeles, They lived in one place in the other city, came to Los Angeles and lived in one place there. I would say a lot of my friends are still 25 to 27, still living with their parents, which kind of contradicts what a lot of people in other countries, especially Asian countries, think about Americans, because a lot of people tend to think, oh yeah, we leave home when we're 18 and forget about our parents. It's not really true. The people you see overseas, the people you see in other countries, are certainly a different cross-section of what you could expect to find in the country itself. Whether it is America or some European country or Australia. So you meet Americans out here who seem to be very independent because they are out here alone. And maybe they did, such as myself, move away from home at an early age. But really, if you go to America, I would think you would find the average person is living at home, if not as long, almost as long as Chinese people do. There are certainly many, many people who don't. Some of the aspects that people really think are quite different really aren't. Certainly the way we maybe treat our parents or the way we look at the family is different now. But in the past, I would say that our relationships with our families were very, very similar to what you find in Asia. A very religiously oriented family, America is basically a Christian country, most of the people either believe or pretend to believe what is said in the Bible. In the Bible, there are a lot of guidelines set out about how a family should be, how it should interact, and what the proper outlook should be on a family, which might be really similar to Confucius in a lot of ways. Maybe 100 years ago or more, back when America was just first being settled, religion played a very large part in people's lives. In fact, it was the sole driving force for people coming to America, because you had in England people who were told that they had to believe in God or the Bible in one fashion, in one way, and people who wanted to practice or believe in another way. So there was a lot of conflict. This is what brought people out here, out to America, to live. It was simply to come out and practice their own way of believing their religion. So people came out to America, very, very religious. They would bring their whole families. If a family was not united and was not strong, the chances of the individuals in that family surviving were really quite low. Because if I was an early settler, if I came out with my wife, my young son, and maybe a baby daughter on the way or something, I'm going to have to get off the boat, find a place to live. If I choose to live in the country and start a farm, which is what most people did, then I'm looking at building a house, starting some crops, starting a new life. That takes a lot of work. The only people who are going to help you are the people who are in your family. So of course it's very, very necessary to have a strong family. People within the family having strong ties to other people in the family. You can see that the attitude was virtually the same, motivated from a different philosophy. Being the Christian way of thought is certainly much different from the Asian way of thought, but still the family unit was something very, very central, very, very important to American life. This lasted and lasted, I would say, until material things started becoming important in America. That is when there was a lot of industry, and there were a lot of jobs. As the country started to become rich, or whatever you want to call it, people started to have free time. It's no longer necessary to do the back-breaking work at home, because now you have a machine to do it. The machine gets the job done much faster. Now you have free time. You sit around at home. You've only got your family. Maybe you start to get bored. So then you're going out with your friends. You're starting to go out and do things that if you didn't have the time or money to do 50 years before, nobody would be thinking about doing these things. Mostly, probably recreational things. I think that started to diminish the central role of the family in the American society. It really is still quite important. I mean, I don't think that people really don't respect their family or don't love their family, but at one point in American history, people started doing things on their own. They started having the opportunity to do these things on their own, whereas before, everything had to be a joint effort. So then over the years, you see people straying away from their families at an earlier age than they were doing before. I kind of have a theory about this. If you look at the people who came to America from England, first they wanted religious freedoms, so they had some motivation to get out of their country. At that time, to come to America meant almost 6 months on a boat going to a place you have no idea what is there. There really isn't anything there. You're going to make something there. It took a very, very courageous person to make this change. I mean, you could be sitting in England saying, I don't like to go to this kind of church. I wish I could do something different. But if somebody comes and presents you with this idea, well, let's go take off to America. Throw away everything you know. Throw away your friends. Throw away your job and go out to a place where there is nothing. That really takes somebody with a lot of backbone. Somebody who is very strong and independent. So we ended up with a lot of people in America who were an independent kind of people, a courageous kind of people. They first landed on the east coast of America. They started to move in a westward direction. Why did they move? Well, they had their cities and farms set up in the eastern part of the United States, but in the cities something started to happen that was very similar to what was happening in England. One city would say, okay, we believe that you should practice your religion like this. Your ideas should be like this. Your beliefs should be like this. So one city would say, you have to worship this way if you want to live in the city. You had a little kind of a microcosmic example of what was going on in England. Religious persecution within a much smaller area, within a city instead of within a whole country. Some people are living in the city and they say, well, I don't want to worship this way. So they have to move out. If they don't move to another city, then they are going to be moving farther out into the country. The borders start to expand. You can't move east because you're already on the coast. There's only one direction to go. That is out west. The people that were in these cities at this time were all definitely a very brave, very courageous people to make the trip out from England. They called from that group of people. You've got another group of people that are starting to move out into the western United States. They are facing other kinds of dangers, other kinds of hardships that you couldn't have imagined if you were in England, such as fighting with Indians, dealing with deserts that just are not present in Europe, all kinds of new problems. Now they are not in boats, they are on horseback, taking all their belongings across large expanses of land. What I believe is that people again started to move west for the same kind of religious reasons that people moved to America in the first place. But as they started to move west, the kind of person that is moving west is probably even more independent, even more individualistic or courageous than the people who made the original trip out to America from England. So over another 100 years, people finally ended up in California. It's very interesting now to look at the people in California. Drive a few states over to Utah or Colorado, look at the people there. Move even further into the Midwest, which is like the main agricultural part of our country. See those kinds of people, and then finally make your way to Boston or New York or New Jersey on the East Coast and compare, say, the four different regions that you pass through. The differences in people are very, very distinct. In California now, it tends to be a trend-setting place, almost a fiercely independent, very creative kind of place. The people that moved to California were kind of pioneers. They have different kinds of ideals than the people who were living on the East Coast. They get to California, there's really nowhere else to move physically. They have reached another coast, another huge ocean, the Pacific Ocean. What do they start to do? Well, California became almost a renegade among American states. A lot of innovation, a lot of serious imagination. Things that people would probably say are classically American are based in California. Certainly scientific things and industrial things, technological things, California is the center of development there. Any time there is a radical innovation in engineering or technology or even thought or behavior, it tends to originate in California. That is not completely true. Certainly there is creativity everywhere to be found. The people there are not so sedentary. They don't tend to stay in one place as much, maybe in their thinking and their everyday life. And then if you move closer in, moving east, say into Utah or Colorado, you find that the people there are much more religious than you might find in coastal cities, like in the east or in the west. The way of life there, especially in the country, even though people have cars and televisions, it's much the same as it was 100 years ago. Certainly to look at it, it doesn't have that feel, but they are still doing agricultural things, farming or what have you. The family unit in a place, especially like Utah, being a Mormon, that is a kind of, or branch of Christianity, the family unit there is something that's very strong, something that is, you don't really find that in California, and the same in Colorado. It's interesting to note, too, because I think that in a place like Colorado or Utah or the Central States, the weather is much more severe. In a very, very cold winter, if you are living with your family at night or even during the day, maybe you don't go out. You're with your family a lot more than somebody from a mild climate might be. It's simply because you don't have the opportunity to go outside. So you find that family ties there tend to be stronger and take on more importance than they might do in, like I say, coastal areas or climatically mild areas. Then, as you move into the Midwest, the importance of religion there is even stronger. Some of it is very similar to the type of religion that was brought over from England, especially in the South Midwest portion of the states. You have a group of people called the Amish. They are a small group of people, but their way of life is completely simple. They don't drive cars. They don't allow themselves to have electrical appliances in their houses. Strictly farming, strictly agricultural people, and the women wear black, cover themselves head to toe. They almost look like Muslims. Their religion is very, very strict. The woman's place is very defined. She's not really allowed to go out and work. She stays home, takes care of the family, does housework, and basically accepts it. It's quite funny to be driving a car down a road and then to see somebody coming up on a horse-drawn carriage wearing black looping like something out of a TV show you saw the other week on the Wild West or something. That is about the most serious kind of religious thing I've seen there. Very, very devout people descend from people called the Puritans. When they came over from England, you had to follow a very strict code of behavior, the women more than the men, for sure. You had to work very hard in school, at home. People were not really allowed to go out and have fun like they are today. The kind of things that you see in that part of the country are directly descended from that. So the people you see there are much more conservative, nowhere near as liberal as the people you meet in the coastal areas.